This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Intelligent Medicine is all about the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend. And you can call us, 877-726-8255 is our number. We got lots of stories to share with you this hour and next. So settle in and listen and hopefully learn. Hopefully you'll learn some things that will enhance your life and the lives and health of your loved ones. All right, this story, quite fascinating, and was the subject of a newsletter article that I wrote. How PMS got turned into a bonanza for drug companies, and now women are suing. So the fact is that PMS is real. It's estimated to be experienced by 20 to 40% of women of reproductive age, and it involves cyclical symptoms, which include depression and fatigue and erratic moods. Digestive problems are often associated. Sometimes constipation gets worse. There's weight gain and water retention and a familiar complaint, bloating. Sometimes associated with backache, there's breast pain, often sleep disturbances, and food cravings. She's got to have it. The Spike Lee movie is really a movie about PMS. Well, it's been known that the birth control pill, in addition to providing contraception, which was originally intended for, can sometimes lock down symptoms of PMS by really knocking out natural female hormone fluctuations. So you kind of feel more even, but also some women report that their mood is flat when they take the birth control pill, that their sex drive is killed. That's because their hormones are suppressed. So around the time that they introduced the idea of using birth control pills for treatment of PMS. Back in 1999, they came up with a medical diagnosis called PMDD. PMDD stands for premenstrual distress, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, dysphoria. Is another fancy word, which means a bad mood. So PMDD was medicalized. It was actually put into the official book of medical diagnoses, the ICD-7, I believe it was at the time. We're now up to ICD-10 or 11. And it was made into a bona fide medical diagnosis. So this was supposed to be for the women who had the most severe disabling life-interrupting forms of PMS. So they say that 95% of women have the ordinary variant of PMS, and about 5% rise to the diagnosis of this devastating PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder diagnosis. But there was a lot of back and forth and controversy about this. Is it really a real entity at the time? But it got some real wind in its sails because, well, a little later, in 2001, Eli Lilly, the makers of Prozac, was experiencing some headwinds because the patent protection of its blockbuster antidepressant drug Prozac was elapsing, which means the price was going to go way down. So in order to reinvigorate sales of Prozac, they lobbied the FDA to obtain a drug indication for treatment of a newly diagnosed condition, which was PMDD. And voila, they reconfigured the active ingredient, the generic ingredient, fluoxetine, and what was formerly a green and yellow capsule was transformed into a more femininely purposed pink and purple capsule. Pretty good marketing. And the drug was rechristened with a nice sounding name, Sarafem. So that really an example of disease creep, sometimes referred to as disease mongering, or the medicalization of ordinary life situations like PMS, you know, probably Adam and Eve, or Eve at least, began to experience PMS, after she offered Adam the apple. It's a age-old condition that women have experienced. But it's kind of culturally determined. And by creating a disease entity, maybe we're putting a little more emphasis on it. We're also giving it some marketing opportunities. At around the same time, the oral contraceptive Yaz was approved as a treatment for PMDD. And as a result, its maker, Bayer, by the way, the makers of Roundup these days, they bought Monsanto, and they also bought a big headache when they bought Monsanto. Well, they're also getting a little blowback because they launched a concerted direct-to-consumer ad campaign on TV targeting young women with ads saying that by taking their pill, Yaz, that could relieve all their distress. Well, the FDA didn't really like Bayer's ad campaign, so a year or so later, they issued a warning letter to Bayer alleging deceptive marketing of Yaz to women with PMS. Yaz had only been approved for treatment of the extremely debilitating PMDD, which is 5%, really the tip of the iceberg of the PMS iceberg. Mostly women suffered from, you know, milder symptoms, not really necessitating the use of the pill. But the problem is they exaggerated study findings, Bayer did, that suggested that the pill really wasn't much better than placebo. The study didn't show a big benefit. And in fact, there was once a study, I remember way back when, that showed that taking a simple calcium carbonate pill relieved PMS symptoms in 60% of women who took it. So there's a big placebo response when women take anything for PMS. That's it. It's in your head, but placebo is powerful. So This prompted a guy named John Faber, who's an investigative journalist that I like, Milwaukee Journal reporter, lowering the bar how PMDD went from an idea to a diagnosis. He writes, the market was built on a disputed condition, inflated estimates of how many women have it, and drugs that can carry severe risks, such as suicidal thinking in the case of antidepressants. And, oh, by the way, fast forward to the present, and Bayer is reaping the consequences of its marketing overreach on oral contraceptives for PMS. Now, more than 12,000 women have filed lawsuits claiming Bayer provided inadequate warning about the risks of blood clots caused by Yaz and a related birth control pill, Yasmin. So here's the scenario. Women, young women don't generally get strokes or pulmonary emboli. That's a condition that's usually associated with seniors. But if you're taking a birth control pill, particularly if you're a smoker, if you're overweight, if you have certain conditions that predispose you to blood clots, they're genetic conditions, the birth control pill really magnifies your risk of getting a blood clot. So it's not trivial taking oral contraceptives. All the more is the pity because there are so many natural ways to treat PMS. You can take B6, you can take magnesium, you can take GLA, gamma-linolenic acid, which is present in primrose oil, black currant seed oil, borage oil, following a healthier diet, avoiding alcohol, acupuncture is helpful, natural progesterone is helpful. And so here we have the marketing of a disease and a dramatic overreach when we say that PMS is something that requires medical treatment with potentially dangerous drugs. One writer, Paula J. Kaplan, author of They Say You're Crazy, How the World's Most Powerful Psychiatrists Decide Who's Normal. Great title for a book. She says, women should be wary of believing claims that high-tech research has now proven that PMDD is real. We should also advocate a national conversation about the often hidden devastating consequences simply being given diagnostic labels such as PMDD. Finally, we should stop pathologizing ourselves and other women and help each other look at what's really behind our feelings. So there you have it. PMS got turned into a bonanza for drug companies, but there's blowback and women are now suing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. More of Intelligent Medicine coming up for you.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And as many of you know by now, I majored in anthropology in college. And anthropology gives me kind of a perspective on what primitive man ate and some of their health practices, which actually are more suited to how we evolved. Paleo diet, extremely popular now, is based on the idea that we want to avoid modern foods and eat as our primitive ancestors did. So here's some fossil evidence that they just uncovered. Headline, inhabitants of Madrid ate elephant's meat and bone marrow 80,000 years ago. It's amazing, but 80,000 years ago, the Iberian Peninsula was populated by huge land mammals, including the predecessors of modern elephants, you know, mastodon-like animals. And they were hunted by primitive humans during the Middle Paleolithic time. And it's fascinating. They look at the fossil evidence, and what they discovered is that they butchered these animals. There are cut marks on the bones, but they also smashed open the bones with primitive tools, and apparently did so to eat the bone marrow. So what's the take-home lesson in terms of Paleolithic diet? Well, animal fat was highly valued by hunters and gatherers that had a diet rich in meat and very low in carbohydrates. When there was little meat, other resources such as bone marrow became a source of lipids, which are, after all, a caloric source for and also a source of many nutrients. And bone marrow has additional benefits. It's 14 grams of bone marrow, which is a tablespoon, contains 12 grams of fat. It's mostly fat. It's got a little bit of protein. It's full of iron, riboflavin, B12. Got some vitamin E, thiamine, phosphorus, vitamin A. It also is rich in collagen, and it contains CLA, a type of fat that could reduce inflammation. So ossobuco, the modern equivalent of Paleolithic elephant meat, maybe the right ticket on the paleo diet. Ticks are a threat for cities, too. They surveyed New York City parks, and what they discovered is that in 17 of 24 parks surveyed, they found the type of ticks that transmit Lyme disease. Fortunately, that's not Central Park here in Manhattan, which I frequently go to. But parks in outlying boroughs, particularly the Bronx, Staten Island, many of them harbored ticks. And then they tested the ticks, and the ticks were the kind of ticks that transmit Lyme disease. They had active spirochetes in their systems. And so, you know, people come in and say, I can't have Lyme disease. I just hang out in city parks. No, think again. That is a possibility. Branched-chain amino acids. A lot of people take branched-chain amino acids for muscle growth, to reduce soreness after workouts, as part of protein drinks. Headline, branched-chain amino acids impact health and lifespan indirectly via amino acid balance and appetite control. What they say here is that too many branched-chain amino acids can increase your appetite and curtail your lifespan. So a caution about excess branched-chain amino acids based on a study that shows in experimental animals stoking their appetites and shortening their lifespans. And finally, this, the Ninth Circuit in California on the West Coast affirms a jury verdict in favor of homeopathic remedies, specifically something called oscillococcinum. The claim was made that oscillococcinum doesn't work by a consumer advocacy group. They sued to say that Boiron, the company that makes oscillococcinum, was ripping people off by claiming that it helped for the flu. But the jury found in Boiron's favor that its representations that oscillococcinum relieves flu-like symptoms were not false and that they weren't engaging in consumer fraud. So ultimately, they vindicated Boiron and the product oscillococcinum, which I think there really is something to it. I really think it does help flu symptoms. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. And coming up, antibiotics that dentists prescribe are unnecessary 81% of the time. A great-grandmother with CBD oil is arrested at Disney World. And skipping breakfast before exercise can be helpful in terms of supporting weight loss. We'll be right back.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. A worldwide leader in probiotics for over 30 years, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a superior formulation that enhances immunity and digestion to help reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a fermentation of 12 strains of live probiotic bacteria with wholesome super fruits and vegetables producing Dr. O'Hara's trademarked postbiotic metabolites, so restorative to gut health. Stay healthy while traveling, and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at fine natural health retailers nationwide. Also available online. Discover the Dr. O'Hara's difference.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our number is 877-726-8255 for questions related to Intelligent Medicine. So the question is to eat or not to eat. That is before exercise. You know, I prefer to exercise in the morning. And, you know, I like to get it out of the way. I pay it forward for whatever I'm going to do later in the day. It invigorates me. And sometimes, you know, after a long day at the office or after a heavy lunch, I don't really feel much like exercising. Plus, if I exercise too late at night, it stimulates me. And nighttime is a time to sort of chill and relax and get ready for sleep. You know, sometimes I pass by some of the gyms that have big picture windows, coming home at 10:30 or 11:30 at night, and I see the people out there on treadmills, you know, or elliptical machines, exercising their brains out. I guess they're on some sort of strange shift that enables them to go home after exercising and relax for a couple hours before they go to sleep. I don't know how they do it. But the question a lot of people pose is, do you need to fuel your exercise exploits, have a little something to eat? And it's very variable. Some people think, well, I really need to eat something before I exercise, otherwise I feel flat. But for me, it's been a longstanding habit to exercise without eating. And maybe I'll have a cup of black decaf or something. But I endeavor not to have any food intake before exercise. And what I find is that sometimes if I exercise a little later, I'm starting to get hungry, but a bout of exercise will actually abolish that hunger. But is it a good idea? Some people contend that if you don't eat before you exercise, you're going to burn off a lot of calories. You come back super hungry. You're going to eat like a house on fire, and ultimately you're going to gain weight. Well, this is actually the subject of an interesting study performed at the University of Bath, England. And what they did was they took three groups, and they gave one group a bunch of oatmeal without exercising. And they gave another group a bunch of oatmeal. These were experienced, healthy, physically active young men, cyclists, and they received a breakfast of oatmeal with milk, which consisted of 431 calories, most of it carbohydrate, but a little bit of fat and some protein. They told them to do their normal exercise routine. And then the third group didn't have that breakfast, but then they were told to eat whatever they wanted later in the day. And then they assessed the effect on energy balance of either omitting or consuming food prior to exercise. And here's what they found. It's very interesting. Obviously, the group that got the 431 extra calories in the form of a lot of starch, they ended up gaining weight, and they ended up having a higher food, overall daily food intake. So I guess the moral of the story is make sure you exercise. But interestingly, the group that got no breakfast, they came back hungry, and they ate a lot for lunch. But subsequently, later in the day, their food intake was somewhat blunted and minimized, and they had a net negative 24-hour energy balance of 400 calories. So this was significantly lower than the breakfast group. And what they then determined is that there may be, it may be an advisable strategy to overnight fast before exercise and eschew breakfast if your goal is to optimize your lean to fat ratio and or to lose weight. So there you have it. Proof positive that, and by the way, it's highly individual, different strokes for different folks, but for the most part, it's a reasonable strategy to strive for not eating before you engage in your morning bout of exercise. And you want to maintain energy for exercise. And one of the best ways to maintain energy, in my opinion, is to take NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. It's the only nutritional formula that's clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause. So the studies are really quite good. Clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it has anti-aging effects. It's available in ProPacks, which is a one-stop shop for all your vitamin and mineral needs. Plus, it contains a fish oil pill. But some people prefer to keep their multi and or their fish oil. And so I suggested to the folks at Nutritional Therapeutics that they just make NT Factor alone. So NT Factor was born as healthy aging. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. It provides you with the unique energy support of pure NT Factor and a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. And I attribute much of my energy and vitality to taking NT Factor over so many years. Now, with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Find ProPacks or Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store. Or if you want to order direct, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. This is a fascinating story. Great-grandmother with CBD oil arrested at Disney World. It happened last month. I love the way they wrote the story. Disney World may be the most magical place on Earth, but it turned into a legal nightmare for a great-grandmother with arthritis. A 69-year-old woman was arrested at a Disney World checkpoint when an Orange County deputy found CBD oil in her purse. She then spent 12 hours behind bars before being released on a $2,000 bond. Her name is Hester Jordan Burkhalter. She's a great-grandmother from North Carolina. They start early there in North Carolina. It's like, okay, four generations, and she's only 69. She began using CBD oil for arthritis after her doctor recommended it. And she even had a note from her medical professional in her purse at the time of arrest, but it didn't matter. She says, quote, "I have really bad arthritis in my legs and my arms and my shoulder. I use CBD oil for the pain because it helps." When she was stopped by security outside of the Magic Kingdom, however, she was arrested. "I have never had one speeding ticket in my life," she says. And so this highlights the state of legal confusion in certain areas of the country. It's really a moving target. And, you know, CBD oil is incredibly popular. And we talk about it here frequently on Intelligent Medicine. We have a great interview with Stuart Tomk, who is from PlusCBDOil.com, who is their communications director. And there's really great science supporting the benefits of CBD oil, and also its lack of addictive potential, its harmlessness when it comes to focus and alertness. In no way are its effects similar to the effects of marijuana, which contains THC, which is the hallucinogen that gets you stoned. And also, by the way, increases your munchies. CBD oil actually may attenuate the munchies, keep munchies under control. So it really is going to accelerate efforts in the state of Florida and nationally to normalize the rules about CBD, because actually, you know, paradoxically, we're very permissive now about pot smoking. We've legalized pot in many parts of the country. And I'll say, you know, I have some misgivings about that, because marijuana in the hands of young children may create developmental problems. And there's no question that if you're really stoned and you're driving, you're going to be less alert, contributes to traffic accidents. It's potentially demotivational. I'm talking about marijuana with high content of THC. But when it comes to CBD oil is very therapeutic. great for pain, great for anxiety, great for sleep, has anti-inflammatory properties. And I think we're really going to see a change. The federal government is undertaking a review of CBD regulations. Currently, it's still somewhat illegal, but with a wink and a nod, they allow marketing of CBD all over the country, and it's available virtually everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And this, in Florida, they really got to catch up. There's actually petitions in the state of Florida supported by doctors, medical professionals, researchers, and academics that argue for the normalization, legalization of CBD and making it finally more widely available without penalties. I mean, this is a real outlier situation. It's kind of crazy. Ultimately, they let this woman off. In a statement provided to Fox News, Burkhalter's lawyer said, quote, "I'm very disappointed with the Orange County Sheriff's Office handled the situation the way they did. Why Sheriff Mina would support his deputies using the resources for a CBD oil arrest of a 69-year-old woman, but then won't do anything about the gas stations, health food stores, drug stores that are selling it to the open public is absolutely beyond my comprehension. The state of Florida finds nothing wrong with collecting the sales tax on illegal products, but they allow prosecution for possession of the same." I want to commend Aramis Ayala's office for reviewing the case and swiftly determining that they would not prosecute. You know, they just don't know. There's confusion. It's like kind of crazy quilt of laws and regulations. It's available. Everybody's using it. But, you know, sometimes they misinterpret the statutes and people can get in trouble. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and when we return, we're going to take a look at the proposition, do dentists prescribe antibiotics too often? This is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Okay, we're going to answer the question, do dentists prescribe antibiotics too often? I'm often called upon to offer a second opinion to patients who are undergoing minor dental procedures. They call me up or they email me and they say, usually I'm treating them for a condition where they are leery of taking antibiotics. Say a patient has ulcerative colitis or something like that. We know that antibiotics can often trigger a re-exacerbation of ulcerative colitis. Plenty of stories of patients who are doing fine, following a great diet, taking the right supplements. Their ulcerative colitis was in remission. But then for some reason or another, they required antibiotics, and they took them perhaps unnecessarily, and then their symptoms recurred. They had bloody diarrhea, and they were off to the races again with their ulcerative colitis. Other conditions, gastrointestinal problems that are relieved after taking probiotics, they take antibiotics, and all of a sudden their gastrontestinal problems recur, and on it goes. So I'm called upon to offer a second opinion. Often this is some very minor dental procedure, and the dentists, look, they're in a tough position because, God forbid, something happens. When you instrument the mouth, there is the possibility of endocarditis, which is an infection that can affect the heart valves, very, very serious infection. So in an abundance of caution, they prescribe antibiotics. Or perhaps it's a dental procedure where there is an infection, a tooth infection, and simply pulling the tooth isn't going to do the job, so they prescribe antibiotics on top of that. And sometimes it's necessary, but often, well, it's questionable. So headline, antibiotics that dentists prescribe are unnecessary 81% of the time. They say that the findings are important because dentists are responsible for 10% of all antibiotic prescriptions written in the United States. Researchers at Oregon State University used a database to examine 170,000 dentist-written antibiotic prescriptions. Greater than 90% of the patients underwent a procedure that possibly warranted taking an antibiotic ahead of time. However, less than 21% of these people had a cardiac condition that made an antibiotic prescription recommended under medical guidelines. So, yeah, there is specific guidelines for prescribing antibiotics to prevent endocarditis. The other thing is dentists also are responsible, unfortunately, for prescribing a lot of opiates unnecessarily, and therefore what we have is, a contribution to our national opioid pain medication addiction epidemic. They say that dentists are responsible for 12% of prescriptions for opioid pain relievers. Yeah, dental procedures are very painful, and dentists have a habit sometimes of over-prescribing. Dentists will prescribe maybe 20 or 30 tablets. It's easy to write that on a prescription pad of a powerful narcotic painkiller. A young adolescent is having wisdom teeth removed. Do they really need a prescription for 30 Vicodin, of which, maybe they'll take a couple, if any, when just taking some Tylenol will do. So last year, the Dental Association published new guidelines for curbing unnecessary prescriptions, and I hope that it does some good because dentists may inadvertently or overzealously prescribe antibiotics and or opiate pain relievers, which have the potential to get folks hooked. And all those opiate pain relievers that are sitting around in people's medicine cabinets sometimes find their way into the hands of the wrong people. Folic acid is often prescribed for pregnant women in prenatal vitamins for the specific purpose of preventing dread birth defects. It seems to reduce the risk of neural tube defects, which are a particularly serious type of birth defect. But also recent studies have suggested that folic acid supplementation or folate supplementation may be beneficial for preventing autism. Here's another benefit, according to a study in an International Journal of Pediatrics. 119 healthy pregnant women in Northern Ireland who had taken 400 micrograms per day of folic acid during the first trimester were then assigned to take 400 micrograms per day of folic acid or placebo during the second and third trimesters. And then they followed the children, 39 of them, of those women. They were assessed at 6 to 7 years of age. So this is quite a long-standing study. And they found some interesting differences. Not only were they protected against serious birth defects, but the folic acid group scored significantly higher on measures of emotional intelligence and resilience. So this article comes to us from Alan Gaby in his literature review in the Townsend newsletter, and suggests that folic acid supplementation throughout pregnancy may improve the psychological and social development of children. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Weekly Radio Program. 877-726-8255 for calls.